So our scripture reading for this week is coming from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians from chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So last week we celebrated Pentecost, one of the important church holidays, though a little less celebrated, it seems. We are missing out, I think, on the Pentecost gift exchanges. Families don't really gather for Pentecost dinner. I would think any excuse for a dinner is my opinion. But it's a really significant thing for the church. We worshiped at my in-laws' church this past weekend, and everyone, we got there, everyone was wearing red. Everyone but my family and I, who had missed the memo on our church attire, but everyone else was wearing red to celebrate the Spirit coming down like a fire. They were trying to celebrate. So we've entered now into this season of Pentecost. And during the season, we're reminded of how the Spirit of God was poured out upon believers with the sound of a mighty rushing wind, like a fire. The Spirit was poured out. And this is a gift for all believers, for the empty, for those who long for newness of life. Again, the Spirit of God is poured out for us. In our scripture today from 2 Corinthians, Paul is trying to remind believers that this Spirit poured out, given at Pentecost, is not just an event that we celebrate, but really a life to be lived with the Spirit. In the Spirit, we live and are being made new again. It's one thing to understand the Spirit as poured out among us, and it's another thing to live in the Spirit, to let the Spirit of God work within us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to believers that he's had a relationship with for some time, and Paul is insistent in his words to them that there must be an ongoing transformation in the life of the believer. He's critical, really, even in some places. Like when he criticizes the Corinthians in his first letter to them, saying that it's like they're still babies in the faith, like they're still babies when really they should be ready for solid food. And Paul says later in the letter that when I was a child, he said, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I set aside the things of a child. Believers should be moving from being like infants at the beginning of faith toward maturity, toward adulthood in the faith. We are being transformed from one degree of glory to another, Paul says in our scripture. He insists, he's deeply concerned that there be an ongoing transformation. It's fundamental to the life of faith. In his letter, Paul references this story of Moses, we remember from the Old Testament, the story of Moses about him on Mount Sinai. He references this to illustrate his own point, and how Moses had prayed, show me your glory, God. And then God promises his presence and his grace with him, but cautions Moses that no one shall see my face and live. And then God kind of lays out all the steps that need to be taken to protect Moses on the mountain while God's fearsome and awe-filled glory and presence passes by. But now, Paul is saying, now things are different in Christ. Things are different now in Christ. Paul is telling the believers things should really be different for us now. In Christ, the veil is removed. It's set aside. The Spirit of God, the presence of God is available for us, open for us. When we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed, Paul says. We are not like Moses who had to put up a veil over his face. We can stay connected to God in the Spirit. We should be being transformed from glory to glory. The great spiritual writer A.W. Tozer wrote that though the veil is torn, the Spirit is available for us still, it seems that we as humans have this great tendency to put up a veil again, put a veil up of our own making again, blocking us out. We are stuck there, blocked behind this thing, stuck in ourself and our sin and our pride. But the veil is removed. Things should be different now. We are called as God's people to leave behind that old self, to step into the new transformed life in Christ, to turn again and again into to the presence of God. And it's there that God can work within us in the deepest and hardest parts of ourselves, make us who we're made to be. I heard this story about a violin player. And he recalled how he struggled for years and years to develop a sense of rhythm. He just couldn't count. And so for years, he faked it. And he would use these external cues. He would listen for the piano to play a specific part. And then he would know it was time for him to come in. Or when he was in the orchestra, he would wait for the violinist next to him to lift her bow. And then he would know it was time to start playing. But after some time, just by continuing to play, just by listening closely, he started to develop his own sense of rhythm. He immersed himself in the music, and then he started to feel the rhythm internally for himself. The journey of our faiths for us can feel like that too, where at times it seems like nothing comes naturally for us at all, not growing at all, but you continue to try, you continue to play the music, you come to church and life groups, even when you have a dozen other things you can do, you continue to play the music, you continue to pray, even if you don't feel like it, you watch the people of faith, faithful people around you, see what they do. You take your cues from them. You continue going to God again and again. And then slowly, slowly, the love of Christ, the Spirit of God begins changing us from the inside. And we start to get our own sense of that Spirit with us. The Spirit guides us. The Spirit changes us. And we grow in the Spirit from one degree of glory another. Paul uses in this scripture, Paul uses the phrase, we are being transformed. We are being transformed. Paul says we are being transformed to remind us that thankfully the heavy work of change is really something that's done to us, for us. We are being transformed from glory to glory, and this comes from the Lord, Paul says. It's really God. It's really God who is doing the work, the transformation. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we living in that Spirit, or have we put up another veil, another wall? Are we turning to God throughout our days to allow that Spirit to work inside of us, changing us and making us new? I read about the effect that the wind can have on the things that grow. And it seems that over time, even trees that have to stand out in the open, they start to become shaped by the winds that blow, the direction of the wind blowing. Unless there are other trees around it to block that from happening, a tree will eventually start to be shaped by that force of the wind blowing, the direction of the wind. And our task as believers, Our task as believers is to get out and to let that Spirit blowing, to let God start to shape us. Let the winds of God's Spirit start to shape us and continue to shape us, changing us into who we're made to be. There's a song. It's by one of my favorite Christian singers called Roll to the Middle. And it's about this kind of phenomenon that happens in married life sometimes. This little moment of grace that happens. And after you have a big fight with your spouse, none of you have ever been there, I'm sure, where you have this big, giant fight with your spouse where you thought all the meanest things and then you said them too. These big, complicated fights can't always seem totally resolved right away. And at some point, you just got to go to bed. And so the lights go out, and you're hunkered down on your side of the bed, and your heart is hardened, where your pride is in control, and you're laying there. And it's like there's this wall between you and the one who loves you on the other side. But this moment of grace happens, I know, when you let go of your pride a little bit and you roll to the middle. Roll to the middle, trusting that the one who loves you is going to meet you there. He's going to roll into meet you with love. Surrender. Turning to God can feel like giving in, like losing the fight, but it is the one thing that always helps. It is where grace is found. It's the only way for us to come to God. We can mistakenly go on and on in life just as we are, assuming that's all that there is, assuming that's all we can be. We can get stuck feeling lifeless and joyless, forgetting that our most important job is to turn to God, to stay connected to God. And when we remember, turn to the Lord, it is then that we are met with the unbelievable grace of God, the Spirit that gives us life anew. A pastor friend of mine shared this story about how he had gone to the ATM to get some cash, and he ran his card there, and he punched in the numbers to withdraw his cash, and then he went on his way. And then it wasn't until he got to where he was going that he realized that he never actually took the cash from the ATM. Went to the ATM just to get cash, never got the cash. And so when he went back to the ATM to get it, it was gone. And so he called the bank to explain, and the bank said, "Sir, you didn't actually withdraw any money. Your money's still in the account." And he thought, "I know. I'm pretty sure. I went to the ATM, punched in my numbers to withdraw the money." And then the bank explained to him that actually the ATM is actually programmed to put out your cash, but that if you don't take it. I didn't know this. If you don't take it, then it just goes right back in. It goes right back in to the account. It's like the money never left the account. It probably doesn't work as well if there's like someone right behind you in line. So don't go experimenting. But it's like it's still right there waiting for you in the account. And really, isn't that just like the love of God for us? It is there. Still there. It is there waiting for us. The love of Christ has already been deposited in your account. The Spirit of God has been poured out for us. An abundance of life and grace is there for us, waiting for us, ready for us just to turn, to come, and to take and let it fill us up and to change us, make us new. The Spirit of God has not only been poured out for us, it can make us new. It is there to change us, to transform us from one degree of glory to another. Amen.